So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland, 21009.
Freedom Federal Credit Union is featuring a 0% APR for 15 months on purchases and balance transfers. For every dollar you spend on Freedom's Visa Platinum Rewards credit card, earn 3 times the points on restaurants, 2 times the points on gas and groceries, and 1 point on everything else, plus a 2,500-point bonus on your first purchase. Apply at freedomfcu.org/visa. APR is annual percentage rate. Rates are available on approved credit. Federally insured by the NCUA. Full terms and disclosures at freedomfcu.org/visa.
November is probably my favorite month of the year. And it's not because it's fall, it's Thanksgiving, nothing like that. No. The main reason is November 10th and November 11th. November 10th, of course, being the Marine Corps birthday, and November 11th being Veterans Day. And myself being a Marine Corps veteran, I wanted to do some podcast for the month of November or end of October with other veterans. Unfortunately, it was hard to get some. I mean, I reached out to all the Legions, to the VFWs, the Marine Corps League detachments, and some other places, and I was having a hard time finding some veterans. So, you got to do what you can do, and thank God Alicia from Found in Faith Ministries, she found a Marine Corps veteran and reached out to me and asked about coming on the podcast. So, of course, I'm a Marine. I said, yeah, bring a brother on. Of course, I would love to have him on. So I had Chad from J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling come on, and I probably just messed up that name, but that's okay. He'll holler at me if I did. He came on. Of course, we talked about the business, which is a veteran-owned business, and a lot of veterans work there. But we also talked about, of course, the Marine Corps life. Now, I was in earlier than him, so it's changed a little bit. But also helping other veterans. It's a lot when you're coming out of the military, it could be hard. And we talked about that. Also, people going into the military, sometimes, they want to, but they don't know who to talk to. They'll talk to the recruiters. But the recruiters are going to, they're salespeople. They're going to tell you some things that you want to hear. But when they talk to other veterans, hopefully they're finding out the true scoop on things. Now, granted, I went in 81, so it is a lot different from what it is today. I don't know if it's for the better or for the worse. It's hard to say. Everybody's different, so. But anyways, on this episode of Harford County Living, which I want to especially thank Freedom Federal Credit Union for sponsoring, I have Chad Allen, a fellow Marine, Semper Fi brother, and Alicia Hamilton on. And Alicia's been on before, again, founder of Found in Faith Ministries. And we talk about the veterans and the Marine Corps birthday and a couple other things. So sit back and relax, and I hope you enjoy it.
This is the Harford County Living Show, voted as Harford County's favorite local podcast, introducing you to local businesses, organizations, artists, musicians, and more. Harford County Living, there's no place like it. Here's your host, Rich Bennett.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Harford County Living. Today we are sitting here with somebody that was on in the past, who's been ignoring me.
Goodness, Rich.
No. Alicia from Found and Faith Ministries is here, as well as Gracie. Say hi, Gracie.
Nothing.
No, just wagging her tail. And we have with us today a fellow Marine.
Rah.
Who started a veteran-owned business.
Yes.
Called J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling.
Yep.
And is it franchised, too?
It is. So I'm not the founder. We started our specific franchise, but not the J-Dog Junk Removal franchise.
All right. Explain to everybody
it's a little
about
complicated.
The franchise, because it's only veterans can own the franchises, right?
Well, so it's either a veteran or a family member of a veteran.
Okay.
So back in 2014, right outside of Philadelphia, a gentleman named Jerry Flanagan started franchising J-Dog Junk Removal and Hauling. The initial franchises were sold off in the Philadelphia surrounding area.
Okay.
And then it quickly started to get a little bit of notoriety and started spreading to other major cities. I got involved with a couple other gentlemen who are not veterans but established businessmen.
Right.
They were in other franchising businesses, pods, for example.
Okay.
And we started in October of 2016 with one truck, a trailer. It was me and one territory, which is considered a population of 250,000 people, like those clusters of zip codes, I guess.
Good sized territory.
It is.
It's Harford County.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was in southern Chester County, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then given the experience of my bosses, they quickly recognized that this was going to be a pretty scalable and replicable model to build, and we just locked on the right of first refusal from Baltimore up the 95 corridor, and we just started opening up territories every quarter and kind of just trying to keep up with the growth. And
expand. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I take it, what'd you say the guy's name was? Jerry?
Jerry Flanagan.
I take it he's a Marine too.
Negative. He is.
What?
He was Army. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Where did you get Chesty from?
Well, the good. To be honest with you, I don't know. I think he was a wireman in the Army.
Okay.
I guess his nickname was J-Dog, so that was where the name comes from.
Okay.
The Bulldog, I don't really.
Alicia, in case you don't know who Chesty is. Chesty's the Marine Corps mascot, which is the English Bulldog.
I've seen that,
Of course, Chesty Puller, one of the greatest Marines of all time. So,
okay.
Yeah, because when I saw your Jeep, which I love, the way it's wrapped, I saw the Bulldog, I'm like, we got a jarhead here.
Yeah.
But that's pretty.
He's National Guard, I believe. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But he's got a bunch of Marines supporting him. So
okay.
Yeah.
Veterans supporting veterans. You know, it doesn't. To me, I've always said, when we're in, we're always, even after we're out, we're always cracking on the other branches because, let's face it, the Marine Corps is the best. But to me, if I don't care what branch you served in, if you served, you got my respect.
Absolutely. There's a common bond.
Yeah.
There's a camaraderie once you're in and you're serving around like-minded people. And once you get out and your bubble kind of expands, I guess, back into normal life, when you find those guys that kind of have that common bond and that have served, you definitely, there's like an instant.
But you know what? The one thing I have noticed, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, because, like I said, my brother-in-law, and I wish he was here, he's the Air Force. I have friends that were in the Army. I have friends that I served with that were in the Marine Corps, and then later on, for some reason, went into the Army.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like everyone that was in the Marine Corps stays in touch with the people they served with. But you don't see that with the other branches as much. It's definitely a brotherhood.
100%. It's like it's the largest gang. I see an Eagle Globe and Anchor bumper sticker, or I see, a Marine Corps T-shirt or something like that. Like, that person's automatically like kind of on my radar. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like you're like watching out for them. Like,
yeah.
It is a little different, but I think that we have a couple Army guys, like a couple airborne.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen served OIF, OEF, and they have like the special operations departments in each other branch. I think that they have that common bond too.
Yeah.
But Marines are like a special kind of crazy. It's like there's a
We are.
There's a certain thing about Marines that I just didn't really get until I got out and then started getting involved within the veteran community is that we're usually the loudest guys in the room. We're usually the ones, you know, no better friend, no worse enemy. I mean, that's kind of...
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true. And when did you serve?
I joined in 2003.
Oh, you are young.
Yeah, so I'm 34 years old.
I'm the old one here again.
I joined out of high school.
Even older than Gracie. Yeah.
I went to Fallujah in 2005.
Oh, wow.
And then again in 2007. After my deployments, I went out to the Marine Corps Communications Electronics School. I was an instructor for 3 years. Did a little like ancillary martial arts stuff for the Marine Corps martial arts program. And then after that, I went to Paris Island. I was a drill instructor for 3 years.
Really?
Yep. Did 10 training cycles, and then after my tour was complete, I went to 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines in the fleet. I was there for about probably 6 months. They opened up a program called Voluntary Separations Program, and if you were a staff NCO that fell within a certain time and grade, time and service, you qualified to get out because they were downsizing due to the drawback of troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I just kind of saw it as my opportunity to kind of like jump ship. I was at 11 years. I have a daughter that lives in New Jersey. She was 5 at the time. She's 10 now. And I just kind of saw it as, all right, like this is kind of the your chance to get back and get out and like get involved in her life. And kind of like I was 30 years old, kind of like in my prime. Figured I was going to go to school when I got out. So I just got out, moved to Philadelphia, went to school, worked as a laborer for a commercial contractor, learned how to do a little bit of carpentry, learned how to do some demo work and stuff that's kind of carried over into what we're doing today. Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
And how did you and Alicia end up getting together like your boyfriend for girlfriend?
So, I was actually down here interviewing a gentleman who was doing some paperwork at his stepfather's law office. And I was going to go interview him there. He's in a Marine. And when I walked in...
For the business, I take it?
Yes, for J-Dub. Yeah, we're still looking to kind of expand our team down in Baltimore. And when I walked in, her and I started talking, and then I interviewed him, and when I came out, she was like, oh, I definitely need to introduce you to my friend Alicia.
Lisa. You met Lisa Cox, right? Yeah.
And then so she kind of connected us, and then I, on my ride home back up to Philly, I ended up calling her, and we connected, and then sitting here with you today, and we're still kind of working out how to work together. But
Lisa's a good friend of mine that at the law office. Mm-hmm. I imagine, she's kind of more like a sister to me. And when you messaged me, you were like, "You have a really good advocate speaking on your behalf and for Found in Faith," because she's really been, I've been talking to her about the idea for the ministry since way before it started, way before we had a building, way before there was anything really. So. She's kind of been along for the ride with me.
I was going to say, what are the plans that you want to do with J-Dog? I mean, that you would like to do?
Yeah, so they, Chad, do you want to talk about, like, what you guys do, I guess, the junk removal service?
Yep.
And then,
so we are, and I'll give you kind of, my elevator pitch.
Your elevator
and then
pitch,
I'll kind of, like, walk, and then I'll walk you through it based on, like, the lessons we've learned up to this point.
Okay.
So, when we originally got into this, residential junk removal is what we do. That is, we show up to homes and we remove a couch. You buy a new couch, we would show up here to this office and we would clean this room out.
Right.
That is our typical...
You would have a field day up here.
Funny you say that. It is kind of like a field day. You get, you get 2-3 guys, depending on how big the job is, sometimes 4 guys, and you just kind of go gangbusters and get after it. And, you know, we could have this done in probably an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we would call Found in Faith Ministries and we would say, hey, look, we have all these nice chairs. We have all these tables and stuff. You know, you like the donations. Then we're trying to schedule it to where they come once a month and do pickups and pick stuff up from our warehouse in Glen Burnie.
In Glen Burnie?
Yep.
So you're coming from Philly down to Glen Burnie?
Yep. So we have, all right, so here's that. So our geographic footprint is Baltimore to Philadelphia.
Okay.
Along the 95 corridor. And we have a warehouse in Glen Burnie and we have a warehouse in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Right outside of Philadelphia where we run our trucks out of that just kind of service the whole area. And they bring material back to be sorted, donated, recycled.
Okay.
Repurposed. Yep.
So all the stuff you get is either donated or recycled. You don't sell anything.
Negative. We do not sell anything.
Okay. If anybody calls you, let them know now. There is a fee, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
you're not a nonprofit. You have to charge.
We are a business that is for profit, and we're really on a mission to employ veterans.
Okay.
That is because, kind of going back to what we were talking about before we started recording, is there's something about that common bond.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know how to get a job done.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. No, that's true.
You know,
well,
your safety, you're
safety oriented. There's teamwork. There's all these different aspects. It's just trying
discipline.
To kind of. Discipline. There's discipline, especially for the Marines, but.
yep.
But trying to, you know, from a business perspective, it's been great because it's kind of like finding great guys that are mission oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than junk removal. We're giving people space back in their homes. We're cleaning out basements. We're coming in to save the day when, you know, a spouse passes away and, you know, they're grief stricken and they have to figure out, oh my gosh, now I have to move this house, I have to downsize, I have to, you know, we're empathetic, our guys come in, we treat, I like to tell the guys that, like, you know, they all treat each customer as if it was like, you know, they treat the older
ladies. It's like
ladies,
a support
like,
group.
Yeah, absolutely, this. Like they treat them like that was their grandmother.
I was going to say, because there's something like that, I mean, when you have a veteran company coming in to help, and you are a widow, talking to other veterans, I mean, that help. I would think that would help a lot, especially
Absolutely. Compared
to somebody that doesn't know what you're really going through.
Yep.
Well, and I think with the type of service that you guys have and the employment opportunity, it's generally one that it's you may not get the highest, if it wasn't veteran based, you might not get the highest caliber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, person, because it's a fairly entry level, or, you know, pay wise, the pay scale.
Yeah.
So just from that angle alone, having somebody that is a veteran and that has those values already instilled and has all of those things, you don't get that sort of personality with just regular kind of everyday Joe.
Yep.
You're not going to get the same service.
Yeah.
You're going to get people that don't care because it's just a job and they'd rather not be doing that particular job anyway.
That's true.
So I kind of have a vision for J-Dog from a employment perspective, like from our recruiting, is that this in this industry, like if you look at our major competitors, and there is a high turnover of personnel because it is. It's. I mean, my hands are all cut up. I'm gutting the house right now in Philly. And so there is high turnover,
mm-hmm.
but anecdotally, what I've learned from getting out and transitioning is that I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that my job that I had in the Marine Corps wasn't really what interested me once I got out. I quickly learned that, like, I can do a lot with my hands. It feels good to get stuff done. So I don't see this as being anyone's forever job necessarily. I just kind of, because we are located in all other major cities, I kind of see us being a stepping stone or a landing pad for guys that are transitioning out that you already know are going to go through 2-3 jobs within the first 18 months that they're out.
Yeah.
Why don't they just come work with guys that have already transitioned out, that understand the GI Bill process, that understand just kind of how to navigate through the transition, because it can be a cumbersome thing to transition.
Yeah,
out.
Especially if guys that are, you know, coming from Afghanistan or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and if you're working with other veterans, especially veterans that, you know, have been there or mm-hmm. other places, again, it's like it's a support group.
Absolutely,
I believe, and I think that's makes a big difference, because if I just got back from Afghanistan, I get a job with a company, and I'm going out to help somebody, I'm riding with Joe Schmo, who is just some college graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna be able to talk to him about all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, and God only knows what kind of questions they would be asking me.
That's what I was gonna say, or worse yet, they don't necessarily know. I wouldn't know how to, you know, I might ask the wrong things or trigger,
So I think that's another important thing that what we do is, so we are, we have about 33 guys mm-hmm. from Baltimore to Philadelphia. and I'm included in that. 70% is veterans is what we try to keep.
Right.
Because I do think that it is necessary to have like-minded individuals that, you know, bring something to the table but didn't necessarily serve.
Yeah.
Because, like you just said, you wouldn't know how to really have that conversation. I think that educating people on how to have that conversation is huge.
Yeah.
Huge when it comes to the transition and how guys kind of figure out. Because when I first got out, like when we were first talking, I went down to Parasano as a drill instructor. You're like, oh man, really?
I loved it down there.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing is Marines are a little, Marines are a little crazy, but that's,
I'm not talking about as a drill instructor. When I went to boot camp, I would do boot camp all over again.
Yeah, so being a drill instructor is like that on steroids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those were like my glory days. But when I first got out, not that I was like telling people to, expecting the people to have that reaction.
You weren't
reaction.
Barking at them.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, I was a drill instructor. But people just don't even... It doesn't even register.
There's not a grid.
Because they never had that experience.
Right.
And I didn't really understand it in the beginning. It's like, man, nobody really, cares about... Like, it doesn't matter. It's not relevant. It doesn't, But that's just not the case. They just don't get it. And there's just, a certain level that both people have to come to in order to have that conversation. But once people understand, what it is, it's...
Unless they've seen the movie The DI or Full Metal Jacket, they don't have a clue. When you say drill instructor, they're looking at you like you have two heads.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is that? It's just, okay, Christ. And actually, my son was interested in the Marine Corps, and like a dummy, I let him watch Full Metal Jacket when he was about 10.
Uh-huh.
He's like, are the drill instructors really like that? I said, well, they were. I ain't going in.
Yeah.
Well, I blew that opportunity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But oh well. Yeah, I mean, actually, with J Dog, do they have any people fresh out of high school employed?
So we do employ guys that are 18 years old.
Okay.
So I tried at over the last.
They have to be 18.
Well, yes.
Okay.
And they have to be 21 to actually get their DOT card.
Well,
to drive our trucks.
Sense,
but they could still be a helper on a truck.
Yeah.
So I tried to go to to get guys to employ out of DEP programs. Delayed entry programs.
Yeah.
So, let's say you join the Marine Corps, but you're, or the Army or whatever, and there's that waiting period before you ship off to boot camp.
Yeah.
You sometimes need employment, and why not work with guys that could, get you prepped for boot camp?
Be almost like a mentor.
Right. It didn't really... we got a couple guys out of it. It wasn't very fruitful,
right?
I guess there's a little seasonality to what we do too, which is also kind of something we're trying to combat and figure out. Which is getting in, so now we're trying to get into a little bit of commercial business where we can get that repetitive business where we can show up. We're doing a lot more demo. We're doing a lot of construction debris removals for construction companies, working for general contractors, going in and ripping
That's
a bathroom or a kitchen out really quick. Getting our guys OSHA certified. The Department of Labor just approved us for a apprenticeship program.
I love
that. Yeah,
it's great.
See,
that's why I was asking you about high school.
Yeah.
Because we had a group on here about, and we were talking about, skilled labor and trades in high school, which they don't teach.
No.
But a lot of them, and Thompson Automotive here in Harford County, they just started an apprenticeship program with one of the local schools.
That's great.
To where they're teaching mechanics or even auto body mechanics, because that's a dying
thing. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But I think with what you do with being veteran owned, there's a lot of kids in high school that in school they're pushing college. That's what they're pushing.
Yep.
They're not pushing apprenticeship programs. They're not pushing the military or anything like that. And I think of an apprenticeship program. With you guys, it helps in two ways. Number one, it could help, with your business, of course. But it also gives these people that are on the cuff of whether they want to join the military or not the opportunity to talk to people that have been there. Yep. Talking to a recruiter, as you know, talking to a recruiter is one thing.
He's on a mission.
Right. What's a recruiter?
He's on a mission.
A recruiter's a salesperson.
Yep.
But when you're talking to other veterans that have been through it, I think it makes a difference.
Absolutely. Again, having that conversation, like when you start having that conversation and people start putting their experiences out there and people start talking about things that, you know, interest them and where they, you know.
And that's, see, and I think that would do one of two things. It's either going to encourage this person, this young kid that's on the cuff of joining the military, either to go ahead and join or realize, whoa, no, this is not for me. I don't want to join. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? If you're the one that don't want to join, I'd rather you do that than go ahead and already join and while you're going through boot camp realize, oh, no, this ain't for me.
Of course, there's other civil services.
Yeah.
You can get firemen, police officers.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many people now, that's one of the things I don't know if they had it when you were in, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand now, you go into boot camp, you can quit if you don't like it. Well, actually, I mean, more or less. I don't know how it's phrased.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can quit, but
it's a general discharge, not dishonorable.
Yeah, I don't think it's a dishonorable discharge.
No, it's not.
There were ways. A lot changed. Policies changed, and you know, there are some things now that get you out of there quicker than others.
I remember when I went in at boot camp, we had a young guy in. And he actually went down with me on the same bus, Baltimore. But I think like after 2 weeks, well, you know, does Parris Island still have the 3-level barracks?
Yep.
Okay. And when your first time, you're on the 3rd level.
Yep.
So
that's a receiving.
Okay. Yep. He realized he didn't want to be there. Now, keep in mind, this is back in 81. So you couldn't just quit. You drank a bottle of whisk.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
Oh.
Jumped at the 3rd floor window. Broke his arm. That didn't work.
Man.
He finally had to sign some papers back then because you weren't allowed to be something, and that's how he got out. And it's like, why? I mean, if he would have talked to other veterans and got and found out how it is and realized he couldn't hack it, I would say probably maybe he wouldn't have wasted the drill instructor's time.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the process. Well, that's part of identifying, like, is it for you? Is it not for you? You know, I mean, that's part of the training process and kind of like... You know,
God, I missed that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did.
Yeah, we had guys show up all the time.
You can still train, Rich.
I can train, but I can't join.
No, but you can.
When 9/11 happened, I went to re-enlist and they told me I was too old. Yeah.
You can go do a go rock.
How what?
You can go do a go rock.
I think just having this kind of conversation, getting involved with stuff like that, you're still kind of serving, you know.
Hold on, I'm lost now. What's a go rock?
Going to hike.
Okay.
But the go rock challenges they're led by a special forces cadre, and that's the closest I've ever gotten to military because they wouldn't allow me to join.
Do you go hiking?
No. It's kind of funny. Like ever since I've been out, like I'm not running unless I absolutely have to. Yeah, like you know.
Yeah.
I go out hiking with the dogs.
That's why I got up to 300 pounds. You know.
Yeah. Well, these things you carry a rock. Anybody over 150 has to carry 30 pounds plus your stuff. And they just the special forces guys take you out 12 hours, 24 hours, whatever you sign up for. And they kick your ass. That's essentially what they do. I mean, we did.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're carrying all kind of stuff, and they do it in all different cities. Like I did my second one in Philly, and we were, you know, they start at 1 o'clock in the morning, and they put us in the what's that, Suquesil River or
Schuylkill,
yeah, and we walk behind the art museum there, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Schuylkill River is back there. And we're walking up to it, and it's like 1:30 in the morning, and it's got, and we just did a whole bunch of PT, and it's got this nasty green layer of
film.
Oh, yeah. And they were like, "Go ahead in," and we're like, "Oh God!" And so we're all the way down, but carrying tires across, you know. So, but it's fun, and I'll keep you in shape.
Made you want to join the military, didn't it?
Those little challenges taught me that I could push myself way harder than I ever realized.
That's what it is. My girlfriend just did a mud run, and I'm like, I can't believe that people pay to get, like, no, I don't want to pay you to go crawl through mud.
Yeah, we got paid.
And do an old course or, like, get muddy on some monkey bars. Like, no, I'm not paying you to.
Yeah. Well, you had the real life experience.
But right? I think you're absolutely right. Like, that's definitely something you learn, that your mind can take you way further than your body.
Yeah.
Way further.
I was feeling old the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine, and her boyfriend just went into the military. And she was talking about the mile and a half run. When we went in,
it's IST, your initial training.
Yeah.
You have to run, I believe it is a mile and a half in no more than 13 minutes, in less than 13 minutes, just to get
down. Yeah, that's what she was saying. That seemed like a long time.
And then your PFT is 3 miles. And I don't know what the new time is. I know they just revamped all of the physical fitness standards.
But was it the original mile and a half? Was it originally 13 miles?
I mean 13 11 or 13, 11 and a half or 13. I don't know.
That just seems like a long time.
And we did something like that at the Go Rock. We did one at Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
And we had to do the sit-ups, the push-ups. We didn't do the run, but we did the rock 12 miles in 3 hours. Okay. And we had to, you know, and then we get back, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. He was like, all right, who's ready to start the challenge? And we're all like, what?
Yeah, like, you got some nice hot spots after 12 miles and
3 hours.
Like, that's getting
it. 3 hours. Yeah, he was, you know, he set the pace and plenty of us kept up with him, but there was quite a few that did not.
I've done a lot of those hikes. I don't know. Yeah. Like, my knees are screaming right now just hearing you talk about it. I'm like,
well, you probably had a lot more. You guys, regular rucks like 80 pounds or something, right?
Well, in boot camp, I mean, we're doing hikes. I mean, you're just running around a platoon with a backpack on all day long screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one summer of 83. We were in Little Creek, Virginia, training midshipmen and SEALs. And our gunnery sergeant was a Vietnam vet. Really gung-ho.
Was that TBS, like Quantico area? Triangle?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. This is Little Creek, Virginia. It's basically right there by Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It was nice. But it was like 103 degrees that day. So, of course, nobody's out there. He gets us all. He says, all right, come on, guys, let's go. Where are we going? We're going for a run. And the way 13 miles. And the way he did it, we start off slow pace, then start running, slow down, do calisthenics.
Yeah.
Just because he went, he said, we got to show these squids how it's done.
That's it.
Okay, Gunny. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell Gunny no. You did not tell him no. So, it's funny because when we were talking about the brotherhood, and there's, what's the website, military.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, you know, some brothers I served with then. But Facebook, ever since Facebook, I hooked up with my first sergeant.
Wow.
Jumpin' Joe. And he's still out, was it Arizona? God, he's going to yell at me if I get it wrong again.
Yeah.
But he's still, you know.
Yeah, technology's definitely changed the game and put a lot of people in contact.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. I'll go on and I'll see some of my former recruits, drill instructors now. Mm-hmm. There's like three of them, I think, and it's amazing to see it.
Makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It does make you feel good. It does make you feel good, and I think that's kind of what's changed generationally. I think technology's kind of changed the game for how guys kind of transition out and kind of access the information and all that.
I think it helps a lot too.
It absolutely does help, but like things like VFW, like I'm a member of the Marine Corps League. But
okay,
I mean,
don't yell at me because I haven't joined yet.
Well, no. So that's the thing is it's, you know, you talked about going out and passing out flyers to kind of get veterans to have conversations with and not get anything back. I think technology. So there's a big gap with the VFWs and with the American Legions and all of that stuff. With technology, like there's not enough platform. I don't have the solution necessarily, but it's just something that I've kind of like identified being out, like, man, this is kind of such a crowded space, and everybody's just kind of like if everybody could just communicate and talk together, it would.
How's your detachment doing, member wise?
I'm the youngest guy by probably 45 years.
Really?
40 years, yeah.
So you guys are still hurting for members.
I don't know nationally what it's looking like, but it's just a different time. Like, I don't...
See, and that's one of the things that shocks me. And even when my father, who was Korean War vet, but even when he was in the Legion and VFW, even then they were hurting for members. And now, the Legion's VFWs, I guess the Marine Corps Lead Detect, are still hurting for members, and there's a lot of veterans out there. I don't get it. I don't understand why.
I feel like a lot of guys don't want anything to do with it when they get out.
That could be too, yeah.
They don't want to deal with the, you know, I throw a Marine Corps reunion every, like, the way it's looking now, it's been every other year.
Right.
But I'm having one again this year because, obviously, birthplace of the Marine Corps is Philadelphia.
Fun's tavern.
So I'll have probably 10 guys fly in from, a couple guys from Texas.
Really?
Guys from Lejeune. One of my buddies is still active. Guys that I deployed with back in 05, guys I was down on the drill field with. Guys from all over will come up.
Lejeune?
Yeah, coming up.
That's
from
where
Lejeune,
I was, 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines, Eagle Eye. Yep. Loved it. Yeah. It's funny because, well, when I went in, my first duty station was Jersey. And then once I got to Lejeune, because I was infantry, man, it's like the whole world opened up.
Yeah. That's where my grandfather was.
Cape Lejeune?
Mm-hmm. And I grew up singing... what's that song from the Halls of Montezuma?
The Marine Corps. Yeah,
he would sing that to me all the time.
If we start singing that, we're gonna have to lock our body.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So I've got a question. What are some of the most pressing issues that veterans are facing right now?
Different areas. PTSD. I think VA. You know, VA hospitals. I know but a friend of mine that I served with, and then he went in the Army. Mm-hmm. And he was he in Afghanistan, I think? And his Humvee hit an IED, mm-hmm. and it messed up his back. And he lives up in Wisconsin. And, of course, medical discharge, but, you know, they flew him to Germany. He's like, what are you doing? No, he wanted to stay there. So I'm fine. Typical Marine Corps mm-hmm. attitude. And he got back home. I think he said it took a year and a half before he could finally get into the VA for surgery.
I think it's just a negative connotation because of experiences like that my generation kind of like avoids the mm-hmm. VA. But as far as like the biggest issues facing, I don't think that, like, there's kind of been, and I don't want to sound like, I feel like a lot of guys get out with a sense of entitlement almost. Like, I served, like, what are people going to do for me now? Like, there's almost like the whole setting up of transitioning out. They go into, think about it when you join. When you join, you go to boot camp, and there's an enlistment process. And it's, I mean, boot camp itself is 3 months long. I'm not saying that we should mm-hmm. take that much time on the back end of it. But on the back end, you go through 5 days of classes. And then it's like, all right.
Well, okay,
like,
see ya. Thank you.
Good luck. Yeah. Like, here, you know, and that's, and not saying that the Marine Corps didn't, like, they paid for me to go to school, the GI Bill. I mean, obviously, I put into that, and I signed up for that whenever I first joined. But there really isn't a de-enlistment process, and that's my area of focus, and that's where I really, really think that a difference needs to be made. Again, because of the positive outcomes of getting guys reacclimated and reintegrated back into
regular society.
Yeah, back within the communities. I mean, these are guys that within, like, Philadelphia proper, these are guys that don't want to be block captains. These are guys that are going to take pride in their streets, mm-hmm. want to mm-hmm. keep them up. These are guys that are going to, you know, just be involved and be good members of society.
Right.
Yeah, I hate to compare it, but in a way, it's almost like being in prison. Yeah. You know, when you get out of prison, you got you're going back into society, and it's nothing like it was in there. Right. And it's the same with the military. It's hard. A lot of people don't know what they want to do.
And a lot of people can't find that. Like, a lot of people don't. Like, me getting into J-Dog, mm-hmm. it was right place, right time, right people. Like, it was serendipity. I couldn't have planned it better, how it all played out. But there's an entire demographic of guys that just completely gets, like, if you didn't lose a limb, mm-hmm. or if you don't suffer from heavy PTSD, or you know, like, there's really not many opportunities out there for you as far as, like, getting
like
involved within it.
A case management. I know that's the term I use in my profession, but that's really what it is. It's working with somebody one-on-one to find out, like, okay, what's your plans? Where are you going home to? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about? And that does take time with people to really explore and look into, you know, what their options are, what their resources are.
Yeah. Well, the DOD, like, I think that they just made some new changes as far as, like, within the DOD, within the transition period. But the with how they're actually transitioning now, like, I think they're now going to assign people
caseworkers.
But again, it's like, it doesn't really, what is that really changing? What is that really affecting? Just because that guy's going to get out and he's going to go back home and he's going to be...
He needs somebody.
Well,
back
that's what case managers are supposed to do. They're supposed to kind of. I know for my clients, when they come into our program, I'm asking about every single area of their life, and I want to know where are you, and what you need in that area. You know, particularly job, school, that sort of thing, because they're such a critical component of life. And if people don't know. That it takes time to explore that with them and to have them, like I set them up on information interviews. I connect them, you know, like, hey, let's look into these certification programs. Let's just look through the college booklet and see, you know, just circle some things that kind of stick out to you or you think you might want to learn. What did you always want to be when you were a little kid? What was really interesting? Like, you know, so that's what they're actually supposed to do. But it's a long, that's not something that can be done in a week or you know, if somebody knows what they want to do, that's different. That's kind of easy, but
Well, speaking for Marines, we're not the best planners. Here I was like just reenlisted and they opened up voluntary separations program and I was like, boom, yep, that's me. I'm just going to go ahead and get out after 11 years and I know I'm going to go to school, but, I don't really know what I'm going to do for a job. And you know, I was very fortunate and very lucky to kind of like for it to play out the way it has. But a lot of guys don't really have that plan. And I kind of see J-Dog as being, again, going back to that landing spot. Like if we could have a place where guys can go back into every single city and at that one hub, there are resources, employment resources, counseling resources, financial resources, you name it. Like. You know, there's tons of corporations and businesses out there that want to hire veterans that have all these initiatives. I don't really know.
Home Depot's a big one. Right?
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of people can say, hey, I want to hire 10,000 veterans. But, like, what does that mean? What does that really mean? Are you or you got them hired, now what?
Yeah.
Like, are you implementing programs to help? Like, what are you doing? I think that's what's so unique about what we're doing. We are literally the first military-branded service organization out there. And, you know, it's definitely a unique thing.
You're seeing more veteran, well, not like what J-Dog does, I mean, you are seeing more veteran-owned businesses.
Yep.
Now, what I don't like is... You have some people say they're a veteran-owned business. It's just, I think some people do take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
Just like you have businesses out there now, they'll take advantage of it, saying they are a woman-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, they're not. They're putting their wife's name on it, but it's not a woman-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you're seeing businesses like that. They say they're veteran-owned, but in a way, they are, but they're not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of stuff kind of catches up to you.
Yeah.
I feel like it all goes full circle at some point that'll come back. There's one thing I've learned being in business for the last 3 years is that if you just lean forward with good intentions right by people and say what you're going to do and do what you say. That is the most important thing.
Always going with a positive attitude.
I don't always have a positive attitude, but I try to.
But you try.
I always go in and try to look for the best outcome.
But even if you're having a bad day, you're not going to let it show to that customer.
Nah, I'm going to go bash.
That's all part of the military. But that's all part of the military thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's because I think if you go in with a bad attitude or you're having a bad day and the customer sees that, what happens? They give bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that can hurt your business.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's telling guys, you know, we're ambassadors. Like, that's what's really been inspiring about this whole thing is to watch how, like, just how natural service is for guys that have served. Like, watching how they interact with a customer just because they want to help. They want to solve that problem. They want to be the solution to that problem. That's where the key is to this whole thing. That's the juice behind this whole thing.
I know you mentioned doing that you do background checks on your guys and stuff too.
Yep.
And the work that I do, the whole reentry thing with you know, people coming out of jail, is just such a. I have a lot of opinions about
of
that.
Of course.
But is that an opportunity that you offer guys at all? And I only ask that because a lot of people coming out of jail, I mean, they're coming from backgrounds that are just have not instilled good values at all. And I feel like being surrounded on a team of military guys helps to bring them up to see who they really can be, kind of thing.
So it's kind of tricky being a for-profit business and having a business where we are going into people's homes. That it kind of depends. That's why I would like to see a potentially a thrift store down the line or a, you know, some other maybe not customer-facing arm of this.
Right.
That way that we could offer that
like
second
chance.
Like
a commercial demo kind
of
thing.
Absolutely. Something like that. Yeah. That way we could develop something like that. But right now in these early stages of growth and trying to really, like, you know, grow our business, it's important that we get the right people in the right seats.
Right.
J-Dog thrift store.
Yeah.
Could work. Why not?
Yeah.
Now, how would a veteran or a group of veterans or whatever, if they want to work for you or if they want to start a franchise, how would they go about doing that?
So they can go to www.jdogjunkremoval.com. And if you're looking for employment, there's a tab on there, join our team, and then you just submit your information. It'll go to our corporate office, and they'll send that resume or that inquiry to the respective franchise within that area. And you can also go to the same website, punch in your zip code, and submit a form for an estimate. And someone from my team will reach out, call you, set up an appointment, we'll come out, look at what you have, and or I'll reach out to people that are inquiring about employment opportunities. And
Now, and since there's not a J-Dog here in Harford County, right?
There is. It's my franchise.
That's you.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's what you're saying, Philly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so that's
Philly, you're based out of Philly, but you service
exactly.
Harford
County. We have two hubs that we operate.
The Glen Burnie.
A total of eight trucks out of.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah. That's really cool. So I'm kind of curious, what are you looking for in employees if they're not a veteran? Like, what are the...
Those are kind of, like, referral-based. Like, if that makes sense, that's just kind of how it's been. Like, obviously, I'll give anybody an opportunity if I, you know... but, like, during the summer, seasonal, we get a lot of college kids that are back on break. All day long, we'll take them and help us take down some sheds and pull out hot tubs and clean out basements and all day long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ned, do you guys ever set up at any events, festivals, or anything like that?
Yeah, we do. We try to be as involved in the community as possible. I organize, like, Earth Day cleanups. Toys for Tots was huge last year. We're always going to, like, Beer Fest. We'll set up tents and stuff like that. But we... Again, we're in an early stage. Like, we're just grinding out there, just trying to get it.
That's a whole separate sort of
thing.
Outreach is that's
it is, and I've been kind of
a whole other person that
I've been kind of dual hatting, like doing a lot of stuff. And now I have a great team. Like, our guys are awesome, and we would not be anywhere where we are today without everyone that's on our team today. But wearing all those different hats and kind of trying to figure out where to, you know, put the time.
How many people on your team?
There's 33, counting me.
For your franchise?
Guys. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm.
So you're still out doing the work part, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're all out doing the work. We're all doing the front, the back, the middle, the in between. It's fun. It really is. It's fun.
I miss that a little bit with Found in Faith, just because
we're. Yeah, I was just going to say, you're not as active as you were.
So. No. Oh my God. 20 hours of volunteer a week on top of my full-time job is a lot, you know, but I'm not as active in the building with the coordination piece of it, because my responsibility is ultimately the outreach, the awareness, and funding. Like, I've got to keep us in the building. I've got to recruit the board members and the committees and organize the events and write the grants. And so that's just, you know, and take care of the website and the social media and all of those other back end things that, you know, it just, that's very time consuming.
You're back to doing the website?
No, I mean, I sort of. Okay. I update the stuff, but I have to make sure the content's all up to date. Okay. So even if I'm not the one in there maybe making the changes, I'm the one in there that's reviewing, saying what changes have to be made, and shooting that over to the website person, and then reviewing their work.
And I just got bogged down with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay.
What do? Well, I take all more stuff to get bogged down.
You know, and that's a lot. Yeah, and that's a really important point, actually, is that volunteer management is really, it's a lot.
Yeah.
because we're not paying anybody yet, that's what we're raising the money to work on, is to get an employee or two, because we really, you know, we've identified a serious need in this county, and the calls just continue going up and up and up, which is good. That means the county's initiatives to get people housed is working, but if you get them housed, just like if you get, you know, a homeless guy a job, if he's only got one pair of clothes to wear to that job, it's just that last little piece. If somebody's got a roof over their head, but their living daily life is literally on the floor, it's just that last little piece. And it's such in terms of, you know, actual need, there's plenty of abundance to meet that need. You know that. You're picking up stuff, you know. Yes. So it's just being the conduit and having the volunteer and the volunteer management to do that. But when life gets hard, whatever volunteer stuff they're doing, that tends to be the first thing to go.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a big challenge for sure.
Are you guys going to be doing another open house?
So we've actually been doing tours, you know, when because we're always, you know, the board and whatnot are always out kind of spreading awareness, you know.
Yeah.
And we have different, always seeking other partners and that sort of thing. So it's just a little bit more low-key. It doesn't take quite the time and energy, you know. It just, so our tours, we did a couple of them on Friday afternoons. But we found,
you gotta do another open house. We haven't grilled a lot this year. We love, in the Lions Club, we love to grill, as you can tell. But we, that's one of the things we do. We'll try to help other nonprofits as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So when they had their open house, we grilled for that. They did the St. Jude's Bike-a-thon, we grilled for that. The Color Run, we grilled for that. There's a rotating homeless shelter that comes around. We grill for that.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep in Heavenly Peace, we grilled for that. It's like,
all right.
And we just get the food and donate it. It's
that's
just
awesome.
It's something, you know, we love to do.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great. Yeah.
So now what I got to do, what I know I need to do is at our next festival, which will probably be our pet festival in June, get you guys down here to set up.
All right.
Because I would love, I think... that's my goal now. I want to push, especially veteran and fellow devil dog, I want to push your businesses. People need junk removal.
I appreciate
and hauling,
that.
You know, call J-Dog.
Yeah, it's the beautiful thing about this business is it's a service that literally everyone needs. At their home, everyone's got a closet that they need cleaned out or something in their shed they need to throw away or something. We just want to be the people that they call.
Right. Actually, let me ask you this. Do you guys, you probably have to get it from corporate, do you guys have ads that you put on websites or radio?
Sure. That would be on my franchise level.
Send it to me, because what I want to do for the month of November and December, actually closing out the year, veteran-owned business, I want to give them free advertising.
Sweet.
And send it to me, and I'll push it on any audio I could put on the podcast.
Great.
Banners I could put on the website.
I appreciate that.
You know. Whatever I can.
You should come up and do a podcast from Cookie's Tavern on 10 November.
God.
It's a Sunday.
Oh, I know.
I'll be up there.
I was at your reunion.
Well, I mean, that's
the Marine Corps birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I was found in Philadelphia, so it's everybody.
You should do it.
They shut down the road. Okay. They bring a tank in. It's insane.
I would love to, but that weekend's always our busiest weekend because.
Veterans Day.
Well, it ain't just that. We do, I have a DJ company too.
Okay.
And there's a friend of ours that puts on a big bull roast every year, and the money raised goes to the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's. So we DJ that, and that's on the 9th.
All right.
And then, well, the next day is the Marine Corps birthday, which I, every year, I get so frustrated because my daughter, my son, my wife, nobody in my family wishes me a happy birthday. I still haven't gotten a cake or anything.
Yeah. You know, you got to come to cookies then. You got to come to Philadelphia.
And then the 11th is Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Monday. So, yeah, I would love to, but I know there ain't no way I'd make it back by Monday. Marine Corps ball, when you're hooking up with a bunch of jarheads,
yeah, this
you
is,
better get a hotel.
You're seeing kilts.
That's great.
Lots
I love
of motorcycles.
That.
There's going to be a bunch
but
of.
And that's the other thing. I mean, that's talking about the brotherhood. I don't see any other branch that celebrates their birthday the way the Marine Corps does.
Mm. Nah, we're a special kind of crazy. Man, we are a unique breed.
As a matter of fact, I got have you ever been to 8th and I?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We every year, and I haven't been the past couple of years, I would get a group of people and we would go down there. 8th and I is the Marine Corps barracks in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So you can go there and see the Drum and Bugle Corps and the Silent Drill Platoon.
Yeah.
So I've taken my cousin who was Air Force, and of course he was impressed. Yeah. Taken my wife a couple of times, my daughter, my son, my sister, and just everybody's impressed. Well, now they've been bugging me, you got to do it again. And they went to do a bus trip. The Lions Club. So
have you been to the museum yet?
No.
Oh, you got to go.
I know. My brother-in-law has, and he's Air Force.
It is unreal.
That's what he said.
It is unreal.
That's Quantico, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I want to get there.
The building looks like the Iwo Jima Memorial.
Oh, geez.
Like you're coming over 95, and as soon as you get over that little hilltop, you start to see the monument's beautiful. The inside, you walk into the Bella Wood room. It's freezing.
Really?
Or the Chosen Reservoir room. I mean, it's freezing. You walk into the Desert Storm room. You're walking through a helicopter. It's vibrating. It's hot in there.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's really
cool.
I have to get that there.
It's an awesome museum.
I see, when it comes to stuff like that with the Marine Corps, I get very emotional.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and kids, 1 year from my, because my birthday falls in June, close to Father's Day. So they decided
June
to take June 19th.
And 13th.
So they decided to take, why did I just have the 13th in my head?
Yeah, I don't know.
They took me to Arlington and to the Iwo Jima Memorial, too. And of course, that was cool. I mean, I love that. But when we were going through Arlington, I didn't realize there was a memorial for when they bombed the barracks in Lebanon, 83, because I was in Dornan. And I was walking through, and I'm looking at the stone, you know, the headstones, I'm recognizing some of the names. And that did it for me.
Yeah.
My wife thought it was cool. I mean, like, I'm like, really? Yeah. But and my mother-in-law and my son will purposely, I know it's on purpose, whether it's Christmas or my birthday, they always give me something dealing with the Marine Corps that's very that they know is going to bring out emotion. I'm like, really, guys?
That's their happy birthday to you.
Yeah. There you go.
And I gave my wife a challenge. I said, you know what? If you get two buddies of mine I talk to all the time, you get Jaeger here and Such here for my birthday, that'd be the best. Now, Jaeger lives in Wisconsin. My buddy Such, who's more or less like my adopted brother, lives in Italy.
Yeah.
So I know that ain't going to happen.
Well, the real birthday present sends you to Italy, right?
That's a long boat ride. I don't fly. I used to. Not anymore. Until them seat cushions double as a parachute. No.
That happened.
And it's weird because I remember spy rigging and everything in the Corps, you know, flew all the time. It didn't bother me. But 96, I had one bad experience, and that ruined it.
I'm almost certain that statistically an airplane is the safest place to be.
Yes, I know. Yeah, airplane is even safer. No, I don't want to say.
I had a panic attack on an airplane once. Yeah. I mean, I'm fine, but I was traveling without my son, and I just kept picturing like his face and what if that was the last time I saw him. And so I quietly cried against the window until we had leveled out in the air. but
yeah, I always feel a little shaky maybe at takeoff and then again at landing. But, you know, I think it's just kind of recognizing it and being like, it'll be fine. Yeah. Like, I'm landing. We're cool.
Well, I should have knew something was wrong because we were flying to Florida to Orlando. Got on the plane. I always try to grab it, you know, exit seat, either by the door or in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So I right next to the door, and I'm looking at the door, and I see all this clear silicone caulking around the door. And it wasn't the door where you board. It was the emergency exit. Like, okay, this was used. So that's... that's not good. So, it's like, all right. Coming back, we hit a storm and the turbulence were bad and I didn't get my seatbelt on in time. So the lights are flashing. I'm bouncing up and down in the chair, ended up in the guy's lap next to me somehow. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Off the plane. I kissed the ground. I said, that's it. I'm done.
And never again. Huh? I get it.
And my wife, or my, not my wife, my sister is a flight attendant. You know, so she can get me. One day she called me. She goes, "Come on, let's fly to Florida and meet, you know, our uncle for lunch." I'm like, "No, nope, not a shot."
Well, you meet a marine is scared. Is this what I'm hearing?
Huh?
I said,
No, it ain't that. If the seat cushions would double as a parachute and not a flotation device, then yeah, I would fly. You know, but you know what the weird thing is too. Now I have a fear of heights.
How are you gonna put that thing on if it's just a plane's going down? I'm trying to walk myself through like standing up as like a fuselage is like disintegrating in the air. I'm trying to like walk myself through standing up and putting this backpack on and like
we're Marines. We'll
I'll figure it out. I guess I guess you're right. Yeah, we'll make it work.
I don't know. It just I don't.
I think I'd just start praying and just well.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna be praying while I'm putting that parachute on.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know it's, and I need to. As a matter of fact, a friend of ours, gosh, she's getting married in Ireland, and then we were invited to the wedding. I feel bad because it's like, so I don't fly. And her mother doesn't fly, but she is. She's going, she has to.
Fear's paralyzing, man. It'll hold you back from all kinds of stuff. It
happens when you get older, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, what can I say? But, oh well. Any bit of advice for anybody that is thinking about going into the military?
Yeah, do your homework. Do your research. Try to contact some veterans. See if you can, you know, have a couple conversations. There are a lot of guys out there that are looking to get involved within the communities or just kind of looking for that opportunity, I guess. And a high school student, you know, asking for some advice or something like that might be that opportunity. Might be that, like, oh, man, like somebody out there does want to hear what I have to say, or somebody does care what I, you know, what I think about this. So
now, trick question.
Yep.
Any advice for the guys getting out of the military?
Yeah, definitely do your homework. Okay. definitely do your homework. Going back to the transition piece just a little bit when you're in the Marine Corps, it's kind of like there's this underlying theme of scared to get out. Like, mm-hmm. once you get into, like, the E5, 6, 7 range over one enlistment, there's, like, this underlying, like, well, what are you going to do if you get out? Like, what are you going to, like, you're not going to get it. Like, you're not going to be able to make it. I would love to put an end to that. Like, it is insane the opportunity that exists out here for every single person that raises their right hand just because of who they are inherently as a person, who they are. There's just so many opportunities out there for, you know, for employment, for growth,
for leaders. Communities and businesses are desperate for people who know how to lead and don't need to be micromanaged.
But that's who guys that are getting out of the Marine Corps, that's who are getting out of the military in general, that's who they're hearing.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to, guys that have never even gotten out, guys that have spent 25 years, 20 years, their entire adult life in the military,
mm-hmm.
telling them what it's going to be like when they get out, when they in fact much of an idea because they haven't been out.
Right.
So I think that we just kind of need to be a little smarter with how we hook our guys up. Like, let's foam that runway for them. Let's hook them up and get them ready for success. Just like we would if we were sending them down to Paris Island to be trained to be Marines. Make sure they got all their paperwork. Make sure they got all their stuff straightened up. Got all their appointments. Their dental's good. Make sure everything's good. Let's do it on the way out. Let's really send people back in, because that's the beauty in the Marine Corps. It produces Marines are great to have as a fighting force, but as on the flip side of that, being when they get back out into the civilian world, that's where the
I'm thinking, like, in terms of the families that they're coming home to, that's a whole other thing that they don't kind of this person's changed potentially, right? So what does the military do anything to help with that?
There's so many programs out there. There's so many. There are now, like Stephen A. Cohen Foundation is one in Philadelphia, and they're starting to get huge across the nation. But they offer free services to veterans that are suffering from PTSD or just want to have a conversation or just want to talk. So that's kind of what I would say, advice to veterans or guys that are just recently getting out or getting out, is go ahead and start building your circle now, your network.
Support system.
Yeah, start building that now, especially if you're going to a place that's unfamiliar. Like if you're transitioning back to a city that isn't where you're from or where you don't know people, it is your network is your net worth. Who you know and how you connect with them, and your sounding boards and the people that you seek advice from. Mental, I'm huge on that. Always, you know, reach out. Help, find people to talk to and find people to bounce ideas off of. And just find people
to get involved with.
I would add one more thing to that, though. I would also say veterans in general, because you have Vietnam veterans and all that who, throughout the years, it's just Agent Orange especially is one of the things that has gotten worse for people that have been in. You're lucky you weren't in Camp Lejeune during the water contamination part. I was. So even those guys, and they end up losing their jobs, and they're, a lot of that support's not out there for them anymore. I think the key thing is, if you're a veteran, hook up with other veterans. You know, get that giant network, which is another thing I'm working on doing down here. I want
social media. You got to get on LinkedIn. Not just social media. You got to get on Facebook.
You see all these business networks around all the time.
Yep.
And I had started one before, and it didn't go over too well. I want to do one which is all veterans.
Howard County. There's a guy in Howard County I'll hook you up with.
Oh, really? He's already doing one? Okay.
He sends out a text message that says every time a new business. It's great.
That's what I want to do. Anything to help, you know, more veterans, because I think we all need to. Not just Marines. Marines already bond together. Yep. We're all ready. But I think all veterans need to join together and help each other out. And we'll help Alicia out.
Helping
Alicia, but helping our family.
She'll put the ruck on us and challenge us all that. Alicia, you go into the slimy river first.
Right.
We'll follow.
That's it.
Be like, God, look, she did it. That's
I will.
I'll spend my time in a bear pit, so I'm good. No more dirty water for me. Unless I absolutely have to.
Well, Chad, thanks so much. Semper Fi. Alicia, thank you for introducing me. And thank you for coming back on finally. It only took you 5 years,
Appreciate it.
Why are you giving me a hard time?
Well, we still have to get you back on to talk about Found Faith and the differences. And I got to get Lindsay on, too. She's going to yell at me.
Oh, yeah, with the book, yeah. Well, I do. So I do just want to mention, we have our Home for the Holidays campaign going on.
Okay.
Basically, we are hosting a couple of different small events throughout the county in October and November to help raise awareness and raise money for our families. Our goal is basically, it costs us about $300 per family to fully furnish them, instead of the $3,000 that or more that it could cost them if they were buying furniture new. So that's quite a big jump. And furniture really is an investment if you're wanting to purchase it on your own. For us to be able to do it for about $300 versus what they would be paying is wonderful. So right now our goal is to furnish 220 families in 2020. And we're doing that through family sponsorships of either a one-time donation of $300 or a monthly donation of $25. And you can furnish a family in Harford County. So that's our focus area right now. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Send me the information on that, too.
Yeah.
Or it's probably already on Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. It's on the website. Yeah.
I'll get y'all that for not seeing it.
It was down to the wire, with the marketing person that we were working with. Again, volunteer stuff. But fortunately, she kind of slid into home base, right before things were kicking off, and we got it hooked up. So... Yeah.
Get it to me, Chad. You got to get me the stuff on J-Dog.
Absolutely.
And I'll definitely push that. And again, thank you. Gracie. She's in my lap. Okay, there she is. For those of you listening, Gracie is Alicia's dog who didn't want to speak. She's probably going to start barking like crazy once I turn it off. Aren't you?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Harford County Living. You can actually go to harfordcountyliving.com and click on podcast. And from there, click on the episode and there are links to our guests and our sponsors. And I encourage you to please visit them. Again, that's harfordcountyliving.com and click on podcast. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast from there as well. You'll also see a banner there that says Buy Me a Coffee. And if you click on that, you can make a contribution to the Harford County Living Show so we can keep this going. You can do either monthly or you can do a one-time fee. And what we're going to do at the end of each episode is mention all of those that have contributed so far. And so far, the ones that have made a contribution through Buy Me a Coffee are Robin Burke, Lyle Garrity, and you've heard him on the show several times, Carol Garrity, Rhonda Erb, who was actually listening up in Canada, Kathy, Cindy Skilton, Natalie Forrest, someone that's anonymous, of course, Malgorzata Baker, and we have a monthly supporter, Recreating Wellness.